Guess how many times St. Peter's name is mentioned in the New Testament? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. That's right from St. Peter's letter that the Lord cares for you. He cares for you. You know, it's often been said that if you or I were the only person on earth that needed to be redeemed, Jesus would have died just for you or just for me. How powerful was that, huh? Does He care for you? You want a powerful example of how much Jesus cares for you? You got a crucifix in your home? Have you seen the body of Jesus nailed to that cross? He does care for you. How does He care for you in the times in which you live right now? Well, He cares for you by giving you good advice to avoid temptation, because we create a lot of our own problems, right? You have to admit, we create a lot of our own problems. He cares for you by sending angels with feet on, like your family and friends. He cares for you by, well, you know, when you get to heaven, you might be shocked to hear how many times you were kept safe from an accident or from an act of violence. You never knew about it because God was working behind the scenes. He really cares for you. With the medical, technological advancements, unbelievable how God works in our lives. Often behind the scenes. Did you ever hear the definition of a coincidence? A coincidence is an act of God where God remains anonymous. Does God care for you? I absolutely believe He does. Here's today's scripture. It's really kind of, I'm going back to the end of yesterday's scripture, Monday's scripture, and I want to pull that into today, okay? So Peter makes this incredible act of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus says this to Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay. So, at the beginning of the program, I asked you, guess how many times St. Peter's name is mentioned in the New Testament. Okay, so you want to take a guess? Did you take it? Did you say more than 50 or less than 50? If you said less than 50, you're absolutely wrong. More than 50, you're right. Did you say less than 100 or more than 100? If you said less than 100, you're wrong. If you said more than 100, you're right. Okay, all right. I'm not going to tease you. Here it is. 176 times in the New Testament, Peter's name is mentioned. Now, you've probably heard me say on the program before that Peter was never a name. Nobody ever had that name until Jesus gave it to Simon. He said, Simon, you are Peter. Okay? And the scripture passage that I shared with you both yesterday and today has Jesus saying that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not overcome it, not prevail against it. Peter is the foundation of the church that Jesus built, the earthly church. The closest any other name of the apostles comes to Peter, 176 times, is John, 139 times. And then James, 42 times. What is the New Testament authors doing? They're showing that Peter has a place of primacy. He's first place among the disciples. That he was chosen by Jesus. All his faults, all his failings, denying that he knows Jesus. He was chosen by Jesus to be the rock, the visible head of the church after Jesus ascended into heaven. I know there's a lot of Protestants, non-Catholics, who disagree with that. they disagree with the place of Peter in the early church or the successor of Peter's. Remember, we can trace the Catholic Church all the way back down to Peter. We have a succession of popes from Peter. But some people say, no, 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 Jesus didn't mean that Peter was going to be the principal authority figure in the church after Jesus left. They don't want to credit that, because then they'll have to start believing in the papacy. Let me tell you how I heard one, and I won't mention the name of the person because it's a pretty famous person at one time, one TV evangelist, how he talked about the meaning of this scripture passage. This is clever, but so wrong. So he says, he went like this. He wants you to visualize this conversation between Jesus and Peter. He said, Jesus points to Peter and says, Peter, you are Peter. And then he refers to the Latin word for Peter. Jesus wouldn't have used the Latin word. The Hebrew word and the Greek word means a strong rock. He kind of said that, Peter, you're a pebble. This TV evangelist is trying to make this point. He said, Peter, you're a pebble. And then he says, Jesus points to himself and says, on this rock I will build my church. That's a stretch. That's wrong. I've read lots of commentaries, a lot of scripture authors. I've never heard anybody say that's exactly what Jesus meant. He says, Peter, you're a little pebble, but I'm the big rock and the church is built on me. No, no. And you can see, that's why I asked you at the beginning of the program, how many times do you think St. Peter's name is mentioned in the New Testament? You can see by the number of times, 176 times, that Jesus really meant Peter to be the authority figure in the church after his death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. Anybody that denies that is really denying the intention of Jesus in this regard. And not only is he calling him a rock, and remember, that name was never given to anybody until Jesus gave it to Simon. But we need to go back to the scripture quote here. The rest of it, the bottom part, the last part. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's a tremendous power. Tremendous power. That power has been exercised for thousands of years. It needs to be exercised with great humility, because with great power comes great responsibility, right? We also know that power can corrupt. We know that there were some popes who had some shaky dealings with people who were heavy-handed in use of their power. But if you believe that God keeps the church, you know, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of heaven, the way I read it from this translation, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Then to say that within a short period of time after Jesus' ascension, Peter or his disciple or his descendants after him, the other popes, took the church completely away from the mind of Jesus, completely away from the teachings of Jesus, well, that would make Jesus a liar. He said he would protect the church. What church are we talking about? The only church that you can trace all the way back to Jesus. One holy Catholic and apostolic church. I don't say that with great pride or arrogance. I say that with humility. The truth is humility. Peter played an important role in the church. He did what Jesus wanted him to do. He also laid down his life in imitation of Jesus, you know. Tradition says that Peter was asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't deserve to be crucified right side up like his Savior, his Master, his friend Jesus did. Who are our prayer partners today? Well, yesterday I had you pray for our men and women in the Army. Today I want you to pray for the men and women in the Navy, you know. They're at sea often, protecting our shores, rescuing people, supplying a lot of cover for our men and women who are on the ground, their support, the cover for them. They're away from their families long months. Their accommodations on the ships are not all that attractive sometimes. Please pray for the men and women in our Navy. May God be good to them. May God bless them. Okay, today's food for thought. I want to share with you something that I like very, very much in today's food for thought, okay? It comes from the famous Anne Frank. You know, Anne Frank, the Diary of Anne Frank, the young woman who was captured by the Nazis and killed. She wrote, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world." Let me repeat that. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. Because every act of kindness, every complimentary word, every affirmation, every thank you, every please, every hug, when it's done sincerely, when it's done the way Jesus would want us to do, improves the world. Little by little, by little, by little, by little. Okay? Now, you can see why I like that quote so much. Okay, now see if I can make you smile or laugh. A young woman brings home her fiancé to meet her parents. After dinner, her mother tells her father to find out about the young man. The father invites the fiancé to his study for a drink. "So what are your plans?" the father asks the young man. "I am a Torah scholar," he replies. "A Torah scholar?" The father says. "Admirable. But what will you do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in, as she's accustomed to?" "I will study," the young man replies, "and God will provide for us." "And how will you buy her a beautiful engagement ring, such as she deserves?" asks the father. "I will concentrate on my studies," the young man replies, "and God will provide for us." "And children?" asks the father. "How will you support children?" "Don't worry, sir. God will provide," replies the fiancé. The conversation proceeds like this, and each time the father questions, the young idealist insists that God will provide. Later, the mother asked, the wife asked the father, "How did it go, honey?" The father answers, "He has no job and no plans, but the good news is he thinks I'm God." You get it? You get it? Because he'll wind up buying all this stuff for his daughter so she and his grandchildren will be safe and comfortable. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know that you listened to the program. I love to hear from my listeners. Send me any prayer intentions that you have. I will storm heaven for you and with you. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And please, if you can, send me a check. I don't care the amount. Be generous because God cannot be outdone in generosity. Make it to Tash, T-A-S-H. Send it to me. Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument in your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. God of glory.